You with Bill Baxley, Baxley, Attorney General of Alabama, June 9th, correction, July 9th, 1974.
Human feelings that a lot of us have, I reckon, kept him from doing a lot of it, but at least he really honestly believed in what he said, and he said it when the time was unpopular, so I've been a fan of his a long time. Really kind of a tragic figure.
Folsom?
Yeah.
How's he doing now?
Oh, he's penniless, lives on a little pension that Wallace got passed for him. Doesn't pay any bills. He even took his telephone out of his house. A sad, tragic figure.
Did he do any campaigning?
Oh, as a joke. He puts his name on the ballot just as a joke.
What did your father
to
do?
go with Wallace. He was a lawyer and a circuit judge down in South Alabama, very non-political. He didn't, he was a student of the law, real old legal scholar. Didn't know anything about politics, didn't care anything about it. Hated the fact that I was interested in it.
How did you get involved in it?
Well, when I was a kid, the only two things I wanted to be was either a Major League Baseball player or a politician. I found out I might not be a good politician, but I'm a better politician than I was a ball player, I reckon. Now, I don't know. I don't want to be in politics all my life. I have always been interested in it ever since I was a child. But I want to get out of it by the time I'm 40. I'm not one of these that want to do it the rest of my life.
How old are you now?
33.
Did you go to law school in Alabama?
Yeah. I went to undergraduate school and law school in Alabama.
Is this your when you ran for attorney general, had you run for public office before?
Well, I had been a district attorney down in my hometown for 5 years. And even though I ran, I was unopposed. It was down there, as you'll find probably in a lot of little rural circuits, fairly rural circuits, the bar association gets together and they say, you know, well, you ought to be the DA, you young. That's one of the reasons our court system is in such a mess. I think we don't have enough good people to prosecute them. And I got it that way. Nobody else wanted it. And that's how I got in politics, because nobody else wanted the job.
How about running attorney general?
I ran. I was 28. I ran against the incumbent, and everybody thought I didn't have a chance to win. Everybody thought I was a nut for running. We surprised everybody in law.
Did you think you could win when you ran?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I don't know whether you want to get bored by going into all that, but about two buddies of mine that have the same philosophy I do, three of them really, that were very interested in politics. And about 2 years before I ran, we started sitting down. Everybody said the Attorney General was totally unbeatable. 4 years before, he got elected. The same time Lurleen Wallace did, and he ran ahead of her on the ticket. He was always a conservative, and he got more votes even than Lurleen Wallace did. And so everybody said he was unbeatable. And we got to doing some figuring around, and we got to, in a very amateurish way. The man had been on the ballot 12 times. He'd either run for attorney general or running for, ran once for governor or running for, he ran a couple times for delegate to the Democratic Convention and a couple times for presidential elector. And he always usually led the ticket. But we went and got those statistics. It was broken down county by county and some of the counties box by box. And we'd color percentages, votes out, see? And then we'd color, you know how you see the map. We did that with state maps. And like the highest percentage of the vote, every time he ran, his highest percentile, we'd color them red. Lowest percentile would be green, and we'd have a couple of colors in between. We finally finished 12 times his name on the ballot. No matter whether he was running for governor and losing or running for delegate to the convention and getting 99% of the vote or 95% of the vote, or running for elector and getting 85% or whatever it was, you could see that percentage-wise, just leaped out at you. His strongest area was the Wiregrass section of the state, southeast Alabama. Every time, that was the red. Green every time was the Tennessee Valley. So my home is the Wiregrass. The place where I'm DA is the most populous county in the Wiregrass. And I had been doing some special prosecuting work. I really did a pretty good job as a prosecutor. I was, you know, gung-ho, young enough to not be afraid to work. And they sent me around to, you know, try cases in several parts of the state because there's such a, you know, shortage of prosecutors that know how to try a case, especially if they're willing to go outside their own homes and do it. And in doing that, I deal with the guy I ran against and found out that he wasn't, that if he was strong, he was on something besides brains. He didn't seem to me like he knew anything about politics. So, thank you. So I went out to the little areas around my home, the Wiregrass, where it had always been his strongest areas every election he ran. And I'd ask people, you know, well, what you think about old McDonald Gaddy? So, I don't think much, you know, one way or the other. Seemed like a pretty good fellow. Never heard anything bad about him. I said, would you vote for him for governor? They'd say, no. Would you vote for him for attorney general or lieutenant governor? They'd say, yeah, I reckon so, depending on who ran against him. Say, I never have. Did you vote for him before? Yeah, I always have, I reckon. I never have been any reason not to. But really what we found out was there in his strongest area. The only thing he had, he didn't have any real strength, he just had name recognition. And with the absence of giving somebody a chance not, you know, a reason not to vote for him, the reason he'd win all these times was nobody knew his opponents and his name been on the ballot so darn much. So we figured that his strength was overestimated, and we went to work in his weakest area in the Tennessee Valley, me personally working up there, and then tried to line up people that philosophically believe like I do, and that combined with the old V.O. Key theory of the home folks, I got a terrific vote in my own little section down there, which he'd been strong in, we beat him.
How do you characterize your philosophy?
It'll depend on, everything's relative, it depends on who you're comparing it with.
Clay Peasley.
Who?
The lieutenant governor.
Oh, Beasley? Well, he doesn't have a philosophy. I believe in complete, total equality of opportunity for black people and poor people and every other kind. I think that we've mistreated people. I think we been wrong. By the same token, I wouldn't say that I was such a bleeding heart, but because I happen to believe in the death penalty, and I happen to believe that people that break the law ought to be punished. Although I believe that the punishment ought to be equal, I believe that people that have wealth and advantages shouldn't, you know, escape punishment like they've done too often in the past. I think that the South's been discriminated against by big business in the North. I think that we still are. I think the tax structure in the South, especially in Alabama, Mississippi, weighted against the working man. They've used race thing to stop the, any real reforms from taking place. But I think that a lot of the reformers in the South and the men of the people have really just been, they say these things, but then they meet behind closed doors with these people that have held the South back all these years. I don't think Beasley has a philosophy because he changes every time.
Do you have any blacks in your state?
Yeah.
Lawyers?
Yeah. You ought to talk to some of them right here. A division head. four assistant attorney generals and two legal research aides.
Is Wallace Fanning Black aides on his table?
Nah.
Do you have more in your department than the other departments, percentage wise?
Oh, yeah.
And professional and professional.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I probably got. Oh, yeah, way and away. Sure, and we would have more if we could get them.
And the clippings we've been reading about Alabama, it looks like the two of you are going to square off in 78, at least that's what all the pundits say.
Who is that, Beasley?
Yeah.
Yeah, keep on doing like we've been doing. People are going to get tired of both of us and elect somebody else in 78. Tired of
I was going to ask you about that. You're going to quibble for 4 years.
Yeah. That's just one of those things you. My nature. Can't put a damn round peg in a square hole, and every time he says something's not so, I lash back at him, and I know my good judgment ought not be doing it. But, I don't take politics maybe as seriously as. I'll tell you, that's a bad choice of words. I'll tell you, just as serious as anybody, but I feel like that politics, to me, it's not going to be the end of the world when I lose. I'm going to get out and make a. Sorry for the interruption. Where were we? No, I don't think it's going to be the end of the world if I get beat. I think I can have a mighty good law practice and, you know, make a lot of money. I'll always be interested in politics and try to find young people coming along that believe like I do and help them. Might try to stay active on the Democratic Committee or something like that.
Is your intention now to run for governor in 78?
I'm going to give you a.
We're not going to publish this book until the spring of 1976.
Well, I just say this. If everything, of course, you know people are going to resent. If I say yes, I'm going to run for governor, and everything I do as attorney general for 4 years is going to be suspect. If things were like everything right now, it's the same. I mean, if it's the same in 1970 as it is right now, yes, I'd run. But I'm also naive enough, but I overestimate my strength. And if I get out, I'm not one of these politicians thinks that everybody likes me. I know there's a whole lot of folks don't like me. And if comes time in fall of 1977 where I feel like, you know, I'm not going to really have a good shot at this thing, I'm not going to run. And there may very well be something that I do between now and 77 that'll make me lose popularity. And popularity is a very fleeting thing, as you well know.
Besides Beasley and yourself, is it Brewer and perhaps Cornelia Wallace as potential candidates? Is that about it?
Well, I put it this way. I wouldn't want, I don't know whether you fellas go off the record or not.
Sure.
I don't want to hurt the man's feelings because I like him. If he doesn't run, he'll be for me. If he reads this, he won't be. I think he'll probably be for me if he doesn't run. But Al Brewer ain't going to be a factor in this race now. You can talk to the Rotary Club and the Country Club people and the politicians around Montgomery, and they'll say he can be. But I know when you go out in the sticks that Al Brewer is not going to be a factor. I wish that were not true. I would not mind losing a race to Al Brewer because I wouldn't think the state would be in that bad of a shape. But I'd hate to lose a race to Jerry Beasley because of what it means to the state. And I wish I could say that it'd be, you know, between me and Brewer, but it won't. Al Brewer, when he got those votes against Wallace, he automatically thought that 49% of the people like him and the Brewer people. What he doesn't realize is about 80 to 90% of those people that voted for Albert Brewer weren't voting for Albert Brewer, they were voting against George Wallace. And Albert Brewer wouldn't get very many black votes from me in the race. Albert Brewer wouldn't give him any labor votes from me in the race. Albert Brewer wouldn't give him any loyalist Democratic votes from me in the race. Unless, you know, barring.
What you're saying is this day has passed him by.
Well, the reason I hate to say that, because the man is a decent man, a very decent man, and he's an honest man, an honorable man, but you got to watch him campaign and understand what I'm talking about. He cannot appeal to, it's regrettable because he's a very decent fellow. But you figure 2 years before, Al Brewer was George Wallace's lieutenant governor. And 6 years before, he was his Speaker of the House. And there are a lot of people, some of them on that wall up there. Back in the early days of the 60s, when Wallace was so bad on this segregation thing, and people's life were, you know, some of them was in danger, and some brave people were standing up to Wallace and risking their careers. These people remember that Albert Brewer was the Speaker of the House during those days and stood with him in the schoolhouse door in Tuscaloosa that people have forgotten. These people, sure, when he's in there against Wallace, they don't have a choice, but when he's in there, not just with me, but if Dick Emmett, who's a judge here in Montgomery, who's a damn good man, I hope he's a candidate, because if I don't win, I wish he'd win. Or even if old McLean or somebody like that. People wouldn't necessarily choose Albert Brewer. And the average man out in the sticks, I don't want to use sticks, we'll go back on the road, the average, voting Alabamian, they want somebody, usually, for governor with a little bit of charisma. And I ain't saying I've got it, but there's some candidates that don't. And that's happening in every election. Of course, now, again, a lot of other factors. Me and Beasley squabble for 4 years, and people get tired of us, and that might come to pass. And Brewer is a good man. He is a good man.
Some of the people we talked to say that the only thing George Wallace knows is holding public office or trying to seek it. That he's not about to let go in 1978.
That's right.
Because nothing's going to happen to the 1978.
Well, he might run for Senate.
All right, I'm going to ask you that.
He doesn't
you
know.
See that in the future that he's going to try to keep...
Speculating on what Wallace is going to do is the biggest waste of time anybody can do.
I'm just saying that he's always been seeking public office and campaigning continue to do
that's
that.
That's exactly right. That's all he knows. All, that's his life.
Right.
He'd be dead within 6 months if he didn't have that.
Okay, that means Senate then or his wife running for governor?
I would think one of the two. Mm-hmm.
Is that an accurate reading on him?
I'd say either one of them would be a good possibility. I do not think he'll get out of politics.
Sure not. You think he'll still continue to dominate the political life of the state?
Mm-hmm. Well, with him or trying to pass on to somebody else?
Both.
I think he can be a factor as long as he lives. I don't think he can pass it on to anybody else.
Why is that?
Because he's the best politician the state's ever seen. The very best. You know, I'm going to tell you something that a lot of people, of course, y'all, I'm sure won't make this mistake, but a lot of writers make a mistake about George Wallace, and they think everybody, Alabama leaders like George Wallace. Everybody's for him, and blah, blah, blah. And everybody, they're for him because of the stands he's taken, this, that, and the other. They don't think that about their own local cities where they're from, because they know that's not true. That's not true here. People are for George Wallace for any number of reasons. I would not say that the issues are necessarily the number one reason they're for him. But he is the best politician that's ever been in this state, probably, as far as I know, in the South, except maybe for Huey Long, at personal contact with people. They're people that, and I'll give you some examples instead of talking generalities. My grandmother is 103 years old. Since 1958, she has gotten a birthday card or a telegram from George Wallace. In her mind, George Wallace knows her and knows her personally. And she'd vote for him against anybody except me. There are no telling how many people that George Wallace has sent this to. He's good at remembering names. Since 1958, or 56, really, when he started. He has gone around. I'll give you another example. And there was an old black fellow that worked in a restaurant in the back when there were very few blacks voting. And before the voting rights act. And the restaurant owner that was a friend of mine was in Tuscaloosa, was trying to tell him how he ought not to vote for Wallace and everything else. And the man may have been lying, I don't know. But the restaurant owner said, and then the guy told me himself, I was a student in law school at the time, I just couldn't believe it, that he was for Wallace. Because when George Wallace came in there to eat after he was governor, he went around and shook hands with everybody in that place and went back to the kitchen, shook hands with everybody in that place, and he came back in there another time and he remembered this fellow's name, called him by name, shook hands with him. Now, you think that's an isolated incident, but George Wallace, until he got shot, did that everywhere he went for 16 or 17 years. He got enough memory and enough organization, he'd leave, he'd write these people, a lot of them, a letter, and say, sure was glad to see you, and blah, blah, blah. And these people carry these letters around with them. Another example. When I was running, see, I got elected the same day Wallace did, same day Wallace beat Brewer. And people, they were trying to tag me as an ultra-leftist tool of the Black Panthers, all that stuff, and an anti-Wallace candidate and all that. I was in Scottsboro. And struck up an acquaintance with a girl who worked up there at a motel. And I talked to her a couple times when I was through there, you know, and found out she was a pretty moderate type in her beliefs, and she felt like the state was kind of backwards and needed to go further and move ahead and join the 20th century and liberalize a lot of our laws and not get, you know, bad national publicity, which is a code word for those moderates, I think, sometimes. But I was really impressed with her. I think like, here's a working girl, and she really believes all this. I had no reason to tell me that. And when I said, who you folks going? She said, oh, I'm for George Wallace. And I said, well, now, you tell me all this stuff you believe, and then you say that you're for Wallace. Why is this? She said, oh, said, Wallace, when he stays, she said, every time he comes in, he grabs my hand. He said, hello, sugar, how you doing? It's always good to see you again. So Brewer lets somebody else check him in. And he goes straight to his room. He never has even come to him spoken to me. He said, I wouldn't vote for him. So then, when my daddy-in-law died, and Wallace sent us a telegram when he died. Now, when you take the, since 56, which is 18 years now, so it started about 2 years before he first ran, Wallace has done something like that. And you multiply that by how many people like that they are, that's a pretty good base to start on. And there are a lot of people that think that George Wallace is a personal friend of theirs.
So it's a personal contact more than...
Well, no. I don't mean more. I wouldn't say more than anything. When you take a man who does this nuts and bolts type stuff, you combine that with a man that is able to appeal as he is and relate to people through the media and make speeches and things like that. And you combine that with having issues that are fairly popular with people. And you combine that with creating the image of being for the underdog, which he's been able to do. And then you combine that again with a man that has no other desires, no other hobbies, doesn't waste any of his time drinking, doesn't waste any of his time doing anything except talking politics every waking hour. And you got a man that's going to be a factor no matter what his... you can take almost any two of those, whichever two you took, and almost have a man that's a winner. You take one that's got every one of them like him, and you sure enough got one. You can take a man that does all that and believes in very, very unpopular things, and you'll play hell beat. A man that takes the opposite side of the issues that are supposed to be popular, if he does the other things as well as Wallace, he'd play hell beat. In any kind of a race, it's small enough to where, you know, you got, I got a lot of admiration for Wallace as a politician.
Yeah. How about his governor?
Yeah. I don't see his picture in here, do you? Let me show y'all something. Walk with me just a minute. It's obviously changing. I wouldn't be here.
You wouldn't be here if you wouldn't have this staff here. But does that mean that the Democratic Party is changing? Some people say to Washington, Beasley represents the old establishment part of the party, the special interests, the old way of doing things in politics, and you represent the other part of that, or other side of that.
There's a lot of truth to that.
Do you see the party dividing that way? It's not north and south anymore because you're both in the same part of the state. It's not Wallace anti-Wallace, is it?
Well, the only thing, I don't think that division is anything new. I think that it's when the Voting Rights Act was passed, the folks that believe like me just got a whole lot of help. Kind of brought the scales about even.
How many members of the Alabama congressional delegation do you think would vote to extend the Voting Rights Act?
One.
Who would that?
Bob Jones. He may or may not, he probably would. And those three fellows, two fellows, Raines and Elliott, would have probably voted for that. Jones might vote for. Jones voted, the reason I say that he might have enough guts to do that, so the old fella voted against the prayer in schools amendment. I decided when he did that, he had pretty a lot of guts.
How do you see this progressive conservative split you say has been there all the time? Where is that reflected? In the state executive committee?
It's the same thing it's always been. And I wouldn't say that, the young people are becoming more progressive gradually, but I don't think it's any great change other than strong, you know.
Do you make a conscious effort at political education?
I try to. I feel like that's one of the things where we have been lacking. I think that if some of our senators and representatives that were good progressive people, years ago had made that effort, maybe we'd be a little closer to where we ought to be than we are now.
Well, are there more younger people involved now than, say, 4 years ago when you first started out on this thing?
Well, they're all on this staff, naturally.
I mean, running for public office or getting involved.
Well, I think my election, I don't want to be one of these beating my own tom-tom, but the fact that I won, I think probably told a lot of young guys they had a chance. And, of course, most of them didn't want to put in the work that we had done. And a few of them hadn't been successful, but the fact that I won without the big boys and the fact that I was young, I think probably helped bring some younger people in. A lot of them got real disillusioned when Brewer lost. If I had lost with that, I don't think we'd probably had the same participation that we have now.
How about this new legislature? Is it going to be any different from the others?
Ain't nobody can tell. Ain't no way to tell. Of course, naturally, you hope. We ain't got but one way to go, and that's up. Our legislature's totally, totally dominated, completely and totally dominated by the special interest groups.
Who are the special interest groups in Alabama?
Oh, Farm Bureau and the Associated Industries, which represents the real big business people who don't pay any tax. And, the utilities to some degree. Although the utilities, I got to say this on their behalf, they, especially the phone company, in the days when the civil rights stuff was rough, the phone company did a pretty good thing. They had about equal employment even before the federal folks made them. The phone company was pretty good citizen in that regard. Let's see, who else special interest? Loan companies and banks. It's all interlocking thing, too. Some people up at the top on the board, you find the boards of the big companies.
Is big steel a factor?
Well, if you single them out, I'd say no. Well, they're certainly smart enough to not get out in front. What they do is work through Associated Industries, and they put out this crap where it looks like the Chamber of Commerce is doing. They work through the Chamber of Commerce. And man, it wasn't nothing. Please me more as a politician than to have U.S. Steel get up and publicly denounce me and say I'm a radical. Bad for business, man. I quit campaigning. But they're smart. What they do is they work through getting control of the State Chamber of Commerce and control of Associated Industries, and then it looks like Associated Industries is a group of concerned Alabama companies worried about this boy being bad for business. And sometimes means well, but he doesn't check out all sides of an issue ahead of time. And he's trying to get publicity is bad for a lot of good boys and things like that. That's the way they do it. They're not dumb enough to... if you ever draw the line, they know they'll lose. So they're smart enough to not draw a line and make the line be drawn where it appears something else is happening. Steel is certainly a factor in the behind-the-scenes maneuver. They kept, U.S. Steel kept a lot of, I think they kept a lot of other quality industry from coming to Birmingham. I think when Birmingham and Atlanta were the same size, you know, Birmingham, Atlanta, New Orleans, and Memphis, all used to be roughly the same size. And the only darn thing that... Atlanta's got really the only thing in the world they got is they became the southeast headquarters for every company in the world. Of course, Birmingham was right in the center of the southeast. It should have gone to Birmingham back then. When Atlanta had old Hartsfield and later Ivan Allen, Birmingham had Bull Connor and had U.S. Steel trying to keep people out. That's why you've got.
What's the role of political role of organized labor?
The governor's race is not that big a factor. It's a tremendous factor in lieutenant governor, attorney general, public service commission, secretary of state, something like that. That's my own assessment of it. People down here are pretty well individuals about voting for governor. For instance, well, they make up their own mind pretty well. Who they're going to vote for, based really not even so much on issues as it is how they relate to that individual candidate. Then you take lieutenant governor, attorney general, public service commission. Probably bad, I hate to admit it. When I ran, there wasn't a great many people cared who the attorney general was, see? And so when they don't, even though they might make up their own mind for who they're going to vote for governor, since they don't have any real preference for attorney general, lieutenant governor, public service commissioner, they'll get their labor endorsements and go along with them. I think it's a big factor in races like attorney general. We are blessed in Alabama, very blessed with our labor leadership. Barney Weeks.
Is he effective?
Well, I think that he is... when you consider what he's held out against and the times when he refused to knuckle under, I think he's been very effective. Howard Strebel with the steelworkers the same way. I just got the utmost respect for these men. I think he is. They're very effective. A lot of people don't think so, but they, you look at the progress over a 5 or 6 year period, hell yeah, they're effective.
You think the politics of race is gone from this state?
I think so. I hope that's not false hope. So. I feel very strongly about this. I think that one of the reasons race became such an issue is because good, decent office holders are afraid to do their bit on educating the people. I think that that weakness on the part of good men allowed race to have become reach the proportions that it did. Not just in the South, but nationwide. Sure. But they try to... they're talking now about... I better not get into that. It tries to look like I'm trying to say hold myself up, which it's not.
Go ahead and say it. You got Dante hanging on the wall.
Well, I was just going to say, when I ran, they tried to paint me every way in the world with the race issue. When I beat the guy, he was so shocked, he came back and ran against me again in November and ran just as bad, a bitter racist campaign, or worse.
Yes, as an independent?
Yeah, he got a party of the American Independent Party nominated me. And he ran against me again in November, and he was still the incumbent Attorney General, see. And
man, they put out, I'll show you what they put out.
What were you doing or saying?
I believe in equal opportunity.
That's all?
Back then, that's all you need to say.
You mean in 1970?
Mm-hmm.
In 1970?
Yeah. You knew about the National Democratic Party, the Civil Liberties Union, and other organizations which are determined to
said that you were two of the Black Panthers.
Yeah.
How did you feel when you read all this stuff?
Glad he's saying it, because I knew I was going to win. I said it might, yeah,
did you respond to any of this?
Mm-hmm.
Did you respond?
Well, I responded to the police bit, but they said, okay, that's what they put up.
How do you assess Wallace's impact on the political life of Arkansas, of Alabama?
How do you assess it?
Yeah.
It's a personal thing.
No, how do you assess the impact on it? What was it meant or done to or for Alabama?
Yeah. Let me read you this.
Okay, go ahead.
It's the thing that the Asa Carter, I don't know if y'all have heard of him. He's one of these big racists. Actually, Dothan, the hometown of former Attorney General Richmond Flowers, the protege of Flowers, a vicious pro-communist integrationist and now convicted criminal. That's what was groomed for most of the Attorney General job by the pro-communist and integration forces in Alabama. And it's why not a single daily newspaper revealed the sorry criminal background of Baxter during his political campaign for Attorney General. Baxter was endorsed by Attorney General by such well-known left-wing papers. The New York owned Birmingham News, owned by Samuel Isidore Newhouse. It also owns the Mobile Press Russia and the viciously pro-communist Anniston Star. Baxter has taken bold steps for the communist program that even Richmond Flower shunned, appointing a Negro as Assistant Attorney General for the first time in Alabama history. That's Reconstruction. Baxter votes, and I'm going to appoint some more blacks to the Attorney General staff. Talk to them, get some of the official communist voting plan, what I have done.
Was this your appointment, this Bush you had?
That was the first one, yeah. I thought we could, you know, a lot more now.
Indicates membership of the Ubangi tribe.
This was this. It's the country's front leader, all counties from including Black Panther County, with a voter revolution plan as follows. With a no residency, only 30-day residency required, we will be able to form huge mobile voting forces of people who can be moved from county to county or state to state to vote through our programs and elect our people. By mobile voting forces of people, the communists and the Panthers mean horns of hordes, and they went on and said, Bill Baxter did not wait for such a move in Alabama. No case was even pending before the federal court in this regard. Baxter immediately stated the 30-day residency requirement for voters was the law in Alabama, destroying Alabama's one-year requirement. Baxter also threatened every member of every voter registration board in Alabama. They'd better go along with it because my attorney general office will not defend you in any federal court case if you don't. What I'm saying, this stuff does not have an effect. If the candidate that they're using against them will do what he ought to do.
But you were saying earlier that so many of them were intimidated and didn't do it. And they should have.
Yeah, I think so. I think for, you know, many years that was true. It's a lot easier, I admit, to do it now, to stand up and fight back now than it was, you know, in the 20s, 30s. But you had some brave men in the 20s.
I'm only thinking about 10 years ago.
Well,
in the 50s and 60s.
No, it's 64, 65.
A lot of people should still have been. Some of them did.
But as an issue, you think it's removed?
Well, Doc, I sure hope so. I hope it's removed everywhere in the country. I think most people now are going to be making a play for the black vote.
Do you think George Wallace has genuinely changed since referred to as his accident?
I got his views on race.
Got his views on race and views, attitudes toward people.
He'll renounce the Ku Klux Klan, which is worth zero for votes anyway. He'll say that he was wrong, and we all make errors. A couple of the statements that he made, instead of just saying it was rhetoric, say, I was wrong, I say he's changed.
He hadn't said that, had he?
Is the Klan still powerful?
Hell no. Ain't worth 600 votes statewide. Well, maybe 2,000 at the most.
I mean, in terms of intimidating candidates?
Sure, no, no. A bunch of clowns and criminals and...
The way you talk, you sound like a populist candidate or a populist...
Well, people fling that tag around.
Right, but I want to relate the question to Wallace, because he's supposed to be a populist. You know, has been all his life, they say. Yeah, when you examine what he's done in the area of taxation, that's regressive.
I put it this way, I like what he says.
It's rhetoric?
But I'd like to see a little more concrete action rather than just blaming it on the legislature.
How would you feel?
Doesn't he have the power in that legislature right now to pass a progressive tax program or
governor
tax reform
program? The governor could pass a tax reform legislation, certainly. I was a governor, I couldn't get tax reform legislation through that. I think I wouldn't run again.
Well, Folsom couldn't.
That was different. That was different. Back then, we didn't have reapportionment. And the legislature was totally dominated by the minority of the people. Folsom couldn't do it because Jefferson County had one senator, and so did... Some little counties, Jefferson County with 700,000 people had one senator, and some little counties with 12,000 had one senator. Folsom couldn't do it, but he had an excuse. He had a good reason. It was not possible. It is possible now for a governor to do it. Any governor. Ruhr could have done it. Patterson could have done it. Wallace could have done it.
How would you feel if George Wallace got elected president?
Well, I'm going to support the nominees of the Democratic Party, and I'll be very happy if any Democrat gets elected.
How about off the record, how would you feel?
Try that one again.
Well, of course, you know, I can't give you an unbiased view, because I'd make Beasley governor, so I'd discredit any view I'd have. No, I'm just joshing you about that. Off the record?
Off the record. I could do
Wisconsin for property tax reform and income tax reform and all that sort of thing. I ever addressed a message to the legislature or ever put in a program to the legislature?
The only thing he did, even near there, was he put a tax on the utilities one time, which he did do. But then they turned right around and allowed the utilities to pass that on to the public. Wallace is an amazing type of father. I want to say this to you fellows, really. I know you love being called you fellows. What's your first name, Doctor?
Walter
Jack, I'm sorry. Wallace has been, during these 4 years, it couldn't have been anybody been nicer and more cooperative to me in my office than he's been. There's no way any governor could have done more for this office than what he's done. I have never asked anything we didn't get. Well, I don't know.
We don't mean to bug you about him, but he's a phenomenon in the South and in the country that I don't think anybody really ever got a handle on.
There's tons
written on him. And now the latest speculation is that he's got basically undergone a change in attitudes and beliefs. So this is the new George Wallace. But he
don't go off the record, I'll tell you what I think.
Okay. Can we leave it on?
Yeah, I wish you would.
Okay. Bill here this year died, though.
So died in the Senate. Wasn't brought up for a vote.
Does that mean that Wallace wanted to kill?
No, I don't mean that. I didn't mean that. But if he'd have wanted it passed.
Why do you believe in?
I didn't believe in when I was in law school. When I got out of law school, I was a law clerk for a while. Still didn't believe in it. I went back, did 6 months in the service, and then went to Dothan practicing law. One of the first few cases I got appointed on, all the young lawyers in Dothan.